good evening and welcome to the NFL Draft. Tonight, we officially welcome the next generation of players. So if you're ready, are you ready? Let's get it started. The NFL Draft is officially open.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solak. Another edition of the guest mock draft series here today. We got number 25, the Jacksonville Jaguars picking for the second time. And then 26, the Cleveland Browns. Oh, look at Cleveland picking at number 26. We love to see it. I normally do the recaps, but I'm going to have Ben do the recap this time instead.
Yes.
So I can put the pressure on him as he tries to run through the list of who has already been picked here on this guest mock draft, making it to 25. Ben, are you ready?
I'm cracking my neck. I don't know if the mic picks it up, but I am.
I don't know if cracking your neck would help. Would that help?
I'm getting loose. Everybody who listens on 2x speed, get ready. Here we go. slow me down. At one, the Jacksonville Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence. Two, New York Jets, Zach Wilson. Three, Justin Fields to the San Francisco 49ers. The Atlanta Falcons at four take Trey Lance. Jamar Chase at five to the Bengals, which means Kyle Pitts at six to the Dolphins. Seven, Detroit Lions take Jalen Waddle. Eight, Carolina Panthers with Penei Sewell. Denver Broncos surprise at nine with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. At 10, the Dallas Cowboys take Patrick Surtain. And at 11, the Giants for Sean Slater. At 12, the Eagles take Devontae Smith. And Christian Darrisaw goes at 13 to the Chargers. 14, Minnesota Vikings take Quiddy Pay. 15, the Patriots with J.C. Horn. 16, Arizona Cardinals. Caleb Farley, 17 Vegas Raiders, Michael Parsons, 18 Miami Dolphins, Aziz Ojulari, 19 Washington football team, Zaven Collins, big run on defensive players there.
Yeah.
At 20, Mac Jones to the Chicago Bears, 21 Jalen Phillips to the Colts, 22 to the Tennessee Titans, Elijah Moore. And on yesterday's podcast, Elijah Vera Tucker at 23 to the Jets, and at 24, the Pittsburgh Steelers took Najee Harris.
Woo! You brought in some flair in it too. You got a little,
absolutely.
You got the creativity.
I have a side gig as an auctioneer, man.
You have a what?
Now. I have a side gig as an auctioneer.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
I mean, if that was actually how you did it, then you might not. It might just be a side gig your whole life.
Yeah, that's
very
true.
I don't know if you can make a full career out of not actually saying it, but very proud of you there. That was great. That gave me a little bit of a break here to recharge, as I'll probably do most of the rest. I'll probably throw another one at you and make you do another one when we add a couple more names here. But
I'm ready whenever.
Here we go. 25 Jacksonville Jaguars on the board. Let's get right to it. We are up to number 25 in our guest mock draft series. This is the Jacksonville Jaguars on the clock for the second time. They, of course, picked at the very top at number one overall. Now here they are again. For this spot, though, we have a different guest. We have Michael DiRocco, who is part of ESPN's NFL Nation, covering the Jacksonville Jaguars. Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. And so the guest that we had on at number one, we had John Shipley on the show. And the first question that I asked him was, it had to do with Urban Meyer. And I want to ask you the same question because I think that it's a topic that tells the tale of what could be the draft class for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Number one wasn't really a mystery, but 25, there's a lot that could be up in the air that they could select. So I'm curious, when you heard that it was going to be Urban Meyer that was going to take over this franchise that really has not had much success. I mean, had a double-digit winning season in 2017, but it was a big fall from grace since then. Only win one game last year. We've heard that Urban Meyer might make the jump to the NFL. I mean, we've been talking about that for years and years. He finally does, and it's this Jaguars team. What were your thoughts when you first heard that Urban Meyer was going to be the head coach? And then I'd love to hear your thoughts now, after probably getting to sit down and hear some Zoom interviews with him and some post-free agency press conferences. Give me your thoughts on the new head coach in Jacksonville.
Well, the first thing I thought was pat myself on the back a little bit, because years ago I had always thought that I did several radio interviews after he left Florida, and I'd said I thought that eventually he would try his hand at the NFL. So just a little pat on the back for
myself.
There
you go.
Yeah, you know, got to get it when you can.
Of course.
Other than that, I mean, I thought that was, look, this franchise, you mentioned the 2017 season, but like 9 of the last 10 years, they lost 10 or more games. So this place is a dump at this point. And they needed some kind of infusion of life. They needed to make a splash. They needed to hit a home run. And, you know, aside from, you know, Eric Bieniemy, to be honest with you, I didn't think there was anybody that would have made a bigger splash than Urban Meyer. So I thought it was a good move for them in standpoint of getting themselves, you know, basically a jump start on sure. rebuilding the franchise, because it has to be a complete and total rebuild. I mean, it has to be an evaluation of everything. And that's what Urban has done since he's been here. And, you know, they're changing the strength program. There's changing, you know, the nutrition program. I mean, he's evaluated everything, and that's what needed to be done. And, you know, I wondered if he was going to try and essentially, you know, run the whole thing like he did his programs at Florida and Florida State. And that seems to be the way he's doing it. And that's interesting to me, because it's a different approach than what most NFL teams would do. I mean, he's got a chief of staff. I mean, you know, here, I mean, right. he's got guys that are here specifically to investigate or to dig into prospects and free agents, you know, mindset and whether they're going to have the mindset that he needs them to have, and whether they're, you know, what kind of guys they are, character. I mean, he's got multiple people doing that. So I was a little bit surprised that he was willing to take that approach, but I mean, it's the only way he knows. So, you know, I still think he'll be a success. It's not going to happen early, because this franchise is still in a lot of trouble. You don't go 1-15 and then just go, oh, yeah, it was only the quarterback's fault. So they've got a lot of work to do. But I'm look, everywhere Urban's been, he's won, and he's won quickly. So I'm, you know, thinking that this is a 2 or 3 year thing where they could be playing in the playoffs.
Everywhere Urban's gone, he's won, and he's won quickly. And I agree with you. I think that this is going to be an aggressive approach to the draft. It's going to be an aggressive approach to team building in an effort to get that moving. And so I'm curious, with Urban's knowledge, with his offensive acumen, with a wide receiver room that's largely put together, with an offensive line that's solid, got a ton of veterans there, you're feeling confident. Is there a chance that we see this become a defense-heavy draft? I'm thinking about what happened with Carolina last year, where they had an offensive coordinator they liked and an offensive head coach that they liked, and they just went super heavy on the defense. There's a lack of star talent right now, or I should say there's a lack of consistent starting talent on the Jaguars defense. You have Josh Allen, you have Miles Jack. Those are your stars, but that secondary is very depleted. The interior defensive line hasn't been able to hit on a guy in the last couple of years. That conversation around pick number one is always Trevor Lawrence. Now that we're here at 25, we're looking at a Jaguars heavy amount of picks here, day one and day two. Do you think it's going to be a strong push on defense to bang, get this unit ready, because we're going to start winning some football games and we're going to do it quickly?
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the interior defensive line, and that's something that Urban Meyer talked about you know, early before free agency started, was we got to rebuild that. It's not good, and his expectation is to have the Jaguars defensive line always land in the top fourth of the league. Well, you know, you got a long way to go, and you know, they've got to find some edge rushers as well. The only proven edge rusher they have is Josh Allen. And he had a terrible year last year, just 2.5 sacks. You know, they signed Rayshon Jenkins in the secondary as a safety. Shaquille Griffin is a corner. So I think they feel like they're okay at corner, might want to go safety as well. But man, you've got to find some other defensive linemen, some tackles, another end. They signed some guys in free agency, but to be honest with you, I don't think the depth is there. So I do expect the Jaguars to hit in the first two rounds of the draft. I expect them to hit quarterback with Trevor. I expect a tight end to be among those other picks, but those other two picks, I would expect to be defense. And once you get into that third round, they've got what? Two in the first, two in the second, one in the third. I'd expect one of the second round picks, maybe the second first round pick, and that third round pick to be defensive guys.
I want to move over and touch on tight end, because you brought it up a little bit there. It seems like Urban has said on multiple occasions that tight end is an emphasis, but you know, every team in the NFL would love to get themselves Kyle Pitts, but he's probably going to go a lot higher in the draft than where the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be picking for the second time. So that of course puts guys like Tommy Tremble, Pat Freiermuth, Brevin Jordan on the board. Is there one of those players that you think the Jaguars would be more comfortable with? Like, is this a position of need so much so that you believe they just want whoever is going to be tight end two in this class? Like, it doesn't matter. They're not gonna wait and say, like, oh, you know, we'd rather have Tommy Tremble the third. Like, are they just going to look at it and go, yep, give us Pat Freiermuth in a second. We got to hit it hard. Or do you think they might be a little bit more patient with it?
Kind of a mix, to be honest with you, because I think they can be a little patient with it because they have so many other needs that there may be a guy at 25 that falls or someone that falls into the second round that they didn't think would be there, and they may move on that. But it's got to be a position that they have to address. Urban Meyer talked about it. They signed the blocking tight end, Chris Manhertz from Carolina, who is essentially another offensive tackle and a pretty darn good blocking tight end. But they've got to find a pass catcher. I mean, you've got to get one of those guys for your rookie quarterback. You did a great job in signing a veteran, savvy receiver, still make plays, and Marvin Jones Jr., but you've got to find somebody else that can make some plays in the middle of the field. So, you know, Freiermuth is the name that I think everybody connects with them because the Jags tight ends coach Tyler Bowen worked with Freiermuth at Penn State. So that's probably the name that I would say would be at the top of the list. But, man, if they don't grab him, I mean, you mentioned some of those other guys, Tremble, the kid at Boston College, Miami. I mean, there's some options there. I mean, it is Kyle Pitts and then everybody else. So I just want – if I'm the Jags, I want to get a guy that I know can make some plays in the pass game. Am I expecting to find a George Kittle or a Travis Kelce? No, but I need to find somebody that can do something – because their tight ends the last 4 or 5 years have been just, you know, guys. And you know, that's not the way that Urban runs his program. I mean, he's not going to have just guys anywhere. So he's going to make that a priority. But it does just kind of depend, as you guys know, in the drafts, somebody's always going to slide, and that may change what you're willing to do.
I want to ask specifically what you think the plan is at the nickel spot on defense. And that's like a weirdly specific question, but I look at this corner room and I see CJ Henderson, Shaquille Griffin, and Trey Herndon. I go, oh, I like that. That's solid. And then I realize that not really any of them are the body types you'd like to play in the nickel over the slot. And you go to the safety room, and Andrew Wingard was the guy last year. I don't really think that he's a high caliber slot option. They add Rudy Ford and Rayshon Jenkins. To me, neither of those guys a high quality cover option. This, besides like Sidney Jones, Chris Claybrooks, you don't really even see guys with a lot of experience in that position. And so on this back seven, I think that corner was in play until the Shaquille Griffin signing. Now you've got your two outside starters. They lose DJ Hayden in free agency. He was such a good player for them for a while. Do they have an internal plan at nickel right now, or are they going to pretty much have to get somebody to fight for that job?
Well, you know, when Sidney Jones was healthy last year, which was sort of iffy at times,
right,
he played outside, they moved Trey Herndon inside to nickel. And Tim Wall, the secondary coach, is back. And he likes Trey Herndon. You know, they brought him back. So I'm expecting, and I think their plan right now is that Trey Herndon would be their nickel if they were playing a game tomorrow. Now that doesn't mean they won't take a look at a guy later on in the draft, but I don't think it's a priority for them at this point. They can get by with Trey Herndon if they had to.
When you look at their offensive weapons, and we talk all the time about, oh, Urban Meyer, he wants speed, right? I mean, like, that's how he built the dynasty of offenses at Florida. It's how he did the same at Ohio State. But college football in the NFL, it is a different brand of football. And athletes don't just automatically win more in the NFL. I think that it's a more even playing field, and a lot more goes into it. But when you look at this wide receiver room for the Jacksonville Jaguars, they've got DJ Chark. They have Laviska Shenault. They also have Marvin Jones. They've got Colin Johnson. They have Philip Dorsett as well. I mean, like, they have a handful of guys at wide receiver, but it always seems tempting, maybe not here at 25, but maybe early in the second round with their couple of picks that they have there, to take a guy that might have a lot of juice to him, like a Kadarius Toney or a Rondale Moore or something like that. Do you believe that Urban has that itch to add more speed to his wide receiver room in the tune of a top 50 pick or one of his first couple of picks in rounds one or round two? Do you think that he has that much of a desire to do that? Or do you feel like the Jags are okay with the wide receiver room they have now?
They like the guys they have, but knowing Urban the way I do, and I covered his entire tenure at Florida, he loves speed, and speed as we know in the NFL, is invaluable. So if a guy does slide, I think that that might be in, somebody that they would target. Now, you mentioned Kadarius Toney, and he's not necessarily like the burner, blazer, straight line guy, but he's hard to tackle in a phone booth, and they could get a lot of they could get a lot of plays out of a guy like that.
Sure,
the quickness and stuff. So I would not be surprised if that's a guy that they targeted. If he fell, I would not be surprised if they grabbed him at the top of the second round. You know, the Urban mentioned adding some speed at running back as well. So that's an area to watch, but I don't think that's going to be a position that they'll target a speed back, you know, in the first two or three rounds. But I, you know, I just remember his teams at Florida with Percy Harvin, with Jeff Demps, an Olympic sprinter, Chris Rainey, who was like a state title holder in Florida in the 100 meter dash, I believe, or the, you know, that's the, in Florida, that's rolling. I mean, if you win the state title in 100 meters, you're rolling. So he loaded up on speed, and that's how he won games, obviously, with the Gators. So I don't see him changing any of that, but I don't know that, you know, it's going to be a major target, because here's the thing. DJ Chark can run a little bit. I mean, he's not a slow guy. Laviska Shenault isn't slow. I mean, now these guys aren't running 4.24, but, you know, those guys can move a little bit. So they've got some options there. And Marvin Jones for 31 is still can run pretty well. And I think that they're okay with that group right there. But if they can find a guy, somebody slips, or later on in the draft, and, you know, they're not really in love with anybody else, they may take a shot on a guy who can really run.
All right, guys who can really run, tight ends being a position you got to add somebody. We talked about the interior defensive tackle room as well. Second pick here, wrought from the Jalen Ramsey trade. Mike, you have control over the board. If you were running the Jaguars, who do you think you'd like to take on this board at 25 for Jacksonville?
To be honest with you, I'm not even sure that there's a pick after number one. I mean, Trevor's all they need, I think.
Right. I mean, draft Trevor, trade everything else. We'll use that in a few years. Let's go win a championship.
Right. Like, the party hasn't even started when we get to 25 at this point. I mean, Trevor's probably just getting in from Clemson. They're out on the stage. No, I mean, one of the things that we talked about earlier was the interior of that defensive line. And Christian Barmore is the guy that, if he's still sitting there at 25, which he is, I would snatch him up, because as Urban said, they want it to be the strength of their team. You build your team outward, you build your defense outward, and he's probably, what, the best defensive tackle in the draft.
Sure.
Need one, and he's there. I think that would be the way that they would go, and I don't think anybody could argue with them taking that kid at that point.
Oh, man. Okay, so they bring in Malcolm Brown. They've got Jihad Ward. I mean, you have them drafted Barmore here, which you're right. I mean, if you're talking about highest ceiling interior pass rusher kind of defensive line, Barmore's probably that guy. Is it just over with Taven Bryan? I mean, like, is that kind of just done with him at this point?
Yes. Yes, it is. And it was over with Taven Bryan really last year, but they just didn't have anybody else, so they play. I mean, he lost his starting job. I mean, it was kind of sad. I think at one point, I'm trying to remember who it was. It was a rookie undrafted defensive lineman who knocked a pass down. And I looked it up, and I think that was like his seventh or eighth game of his career. And Taven Bryan was a first-round pick in 2018. So he's played 2018, 2019, and then six, seven, eight games into 2020. Well, Taven Bryan has one pass knocked down at the line of scrimmage. So, like, he's not making any kind of an impact at all. I mean, most defensive linemen, you stick your hand up, you get lucky once or twice, two or three times a season. Right, you never know. I mean, but he's just not in this position to make plays. One of the things that really stuck out to me about him was, in all the pre-draft stuff that you read, was that didn't have good football instincts. That was one of the things that was in multiple reports from draft analysts. And that to me is a huge red flag, because you want a guy that's got good – you take the guy with good instincts that maybe doesn't have the ideal physical characteristics, because you want the guy who's always in position to make a play and can diagnose a play and knows what the heck's going on. And that's just not Taven Bryan. So yeah, that experiment is done and gone. I'm not sure he's making the roster, to be honest with you. I mean, I know there'd be some dead money there, but to be honest with you, you know, there's nobody left on this coaching staff that has any loyalty No one left in the front office that has any loyalty on Taven Bryan. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's not even on the roster at the beginning of the year.
It's going to be exciting times in Jacksonville. Well, maybe not for Taven Bryan, but it's going to be exciting times in Jacksonville for a lot of the rest of that roster and that coaching staff moving forward. Follow Mike on Twitter. He does a great job covering this Jacksonville Jaguars team, which is it's going to be must watch every single Sunday, especially since Trevor Lawrence is coming to town. Follow him on Twitter at ESPN Duraco. Mike, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Was not sure if we were going to get Christian Barmore in this guest mock draft, but goes off the board here to the Jacksonville Jaguars at number 25. We got Nathan Zagura with the Cleveland Browns, number 26, coming up after the break. RockAuto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts to customers online for over 20 years, people. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of different manufacturers. The best of all, their catalog, it's super easy to navigate, remarkably easy. You can go to the left-hand side of their page and you could immediately find all of the parts you're looking for your exact vehicle to see if they have it in stock. And if they don't, you can hit them up. Their customer service is fantastic as well. Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts that they have available for your car or truck, and write Locked On NFL Draft in their little how did you hear about us section so they know that we sent you that way. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all of the car parts you will ever need over at rockauto.com. This year, the Locked On Podcast Network is partnering with the Draft Network, that's us, to cover the NFL Draft live. Get insight and analysis from the Locked On local experts and the Draft Network's national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page to watch live 3-day coverage of the NFL Draft April 29th through May 1st. Now we're up to the Cleveland Browns, picking at 26. Imagine that, Cleveland Browns. Look at Cleveland on the up here, picking at number 26. Here to help us out, understand what's going on with Cleveland and their current winning window, we have Nathan Zagura, who is the host of Browns Daily, works for the Browns as the senior media broadcaster there. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, and I love that intro. Picking 26, we don't even know what to do with ourselves right now. The draft, you know, in years past was supposed to be a period of salvation for the Browns. We were going to find our savior, but now we've got, I think, one of the best rosters in the NFL, if not, you know, the best roster in the NFL. We've got our quarterback. We're picking 26. We can't even, you know, go through 25 different mock draft scenarios to figure out what's going to be there. We got to let the draft come to us, and it's a pretty exciting thing.
I know. It's fun when you get to switch it up a little bit as a team. Normally, you're used to mocking at the beginning. Now you're here mocking at the end. And hopefully, I know for Browns fans out there, they're hoping that they're mocking at 32 sometime soon as a Super Bowl champion. So let's talk about Kevin Stefanski's first year as head coach, right? I mean, like, big turnaround, obviously. We're excited. They're picking now 26 in the draft. They make the playoffs. They break that playoff drought, win 11 games. Was it what you expected? Was it everything that you expected here with Stefanski going in? I know there was a lot of hype around him, but did the results really come to the expectations of what they really wanted?
Well, I would have to say they exceeded the expectations, right? I don't think anybody, you know, you knew you had a talented roster. You knew you were bringing in a good coach who was very well regarded. But, you know, to win 12 games, to beat the Steelers in the playoffs, for him to be the coach of the year, I mean, I'd have to say that exceeds the expectations. But what I'll tell you is, for Browns fans, it was really nice to know that on every Sunday, you were at a minimum as well coached as your opponent, as well prepared. But more often than not, I think we were better coached and better prepared. And that's a big kudos to Kevin Stefanski, his staff that he assembled, which is excellent on the offensive side of the ball. You got Alex Van Pelt, who's called plays, Chad O'Shea's called plays, the great Bill Callahan, who's called plays in the NFL. So four guys who had called plays, they worked collaboratively. And you know, the players loved him. The players knew, remember, you went through COVID, you went through all the social justice issues, and he really made an impact on the players. They felt like, you know, he had their back, and so they wanted to work hard for him. And the other thing is, and this is something Joe Thomas told me, when you know as a player that your coach is putting you in the best positions to succeed, all of the focus and all of the blame for if it isn't successful, it shifts to you. So it makes you as a player want to make sure you're going out and executing and taking care of your business and your job. And I think you saw that in this team. They played hard for him. I think he's great. He's got what I call the three P's. He's prepared. He's got a plan and a process to implement the plan. And he also showed he is incredibly adaptable and allowed a fourth be poised, because that's just, he's even Steven. He deflects all compliments. but he's always the same. And I think that consistency really resonates with players. And he and Andrew Berry and Paul DePodesta, for that matter, share that trait. And I think it really permeates the organization now.
Yeah, it's such an it's an awesome setup there. Kevin Stefanski is a Philly guy, by the way, in case anyone was wondering.
Yes,
sounds like a great dude. But I want to ask about this defensive line, because the Browns have made the most recent significant transaction among all NFL teams in signing Jadeveon Clowney. And accompanying the Jadeveon Clowney signing was the release of Sheldon Richardson. It was a pretty big cap hit for this team. So Andrew Billings coming back now off of a COVID year, Clowney playing opposite Myles Garrett. I think the goal on the defensive line for a couple of years now has been, we got to find pass rushers who can take attention off of Myles Garrett so we can get Garrett as few double teams as possible. Do you think the Browns have gotten that done? And if not, what do you think is the bigger need here? Is it edge of the future, get a guy who can be a pass rusher when Clowney's contract is up, or is it more interior rushers and getting a guy who can replace Sheldon Richardson's impact as a three tech? Where do you think they're going to try to get that additional juice to help out Myles Garrett if they still need it?
So I think what they got in Clowney is obviously another freak athlete, number one overall pick. He's never had the gaudy sack numbers, but very disruptive, and he's great against the run. So in a 4-3, you need your guy on the outside, especially if you play a lot of wide nine out there, that can set the edge and really stop the run. So I think you get that with Clowney. But there's a name you didn't mention that I think is going to play a much bigger role than people realize, and that's Tech McKinley. Tech McKinley, former first-round pick, incredibly motivated. I got to talk to him with him right after the Browns signed him. Incredibly motivated. He said, look, I think I took some of this NFL stuff for granted. I can't do that now. The Browns tried to claim him, I think, four times last year and trade for him. So they want him. He knows he's wanted. Clowney said the same thing to me. I know that I'm wanted. And so you mentioned the three technique. And look, I would say the door for Sheldon Richardson is still open without question to come back if the market isn't what he thinks out there. They love Sheldon. But when you mentioned three technique, something went off in my mind. When the Browns signed Clowney, I don't know if you saw this, but in the press release, when Andrew Berry was talking about him and what he could bring this team, he specifically mentioned his versatility and his ability to be effective at the three technique position.
Right.
And so I think what the Browns are planning on doing is, number one, they signed Malik Jackson. And Malik Jackson has a lot of fans in our building. Andrew Berry's a big fan. Chris Kiffin, our defensive line coach, is a big fan of Malik Jackson. And so Malik Jackson, I think, was brought in to be your pass-rushing defensive tackle. Billings is your run-stopping defensive tackle. And then Jordan Elliott, who we picked in the third round last year out of Missouri, they love internally, and they think can develop into a very disruptive pass-rushing defensive tackle inside force as well. But what I think you're going to see a lot of, especially in passing situations, is Garrett on one side, Clowney inside with Malik Jackson, and McKinley outside. And now you can move them around where you could have Clowney next to Miles. I think sometimes you'll have Miles inside a Clowney or Miles inside a Tack. But I think you're going to see those three defensive ends on the field a lot together. And Clowney inside had a pass rush win rate of over 20%. It was actually better than Miles when he's kicked inside. And so you think about Clowney inside with Malik Jackson, who's a good interior disruptor, Garrett on the outside, and then Tack, who, you know, you go back and watch week one last year against Seattle, he had six quarterback hits and a sack in the first half of Russell Wilson. And so you think about that guy never getting double teamed, Clowney not getting double teamed, and then Miles and Malik. It feels to me like this could be a very, very good pass rush. And again, I think McKinley is a guy to keep your eye on who could have a very surprising number of sacks, because they're going to rotate them to keep them all fresh. But I think in passing situations, those three are going to be on the field together with Clowney or Garrett, often inside next to each other or next to McKinley, forcing defenses to pick their poison.
Well, there's some other questions about the rest of the roster. You talked about how complete it is, and I want to get to those, but I'll do so actually asking you about your pick here in this mock draft. We'll put you on the clock here at number 26. I know you've talked about it's a different beast for you guys trying to figure out who you might be selecting here at number 26. So I'll put you on the clock here for this guest mock draft. If the board fell this way, who would you be selecting? And then we'll probably have some follow-ups after we get your pick here.
Sure. And I'd be running to the podium. I think Greg Newsome, the cornerback out of Northwestern,
is
exactly the guy that the Browns would be looking for. You look at this roster, your defensive end room, you could roll that out. Your defensive tackle room, you can roll that out even without Richardson. And I say that because, as I mentioned earlier, I think in a lot of situations, there's only going to be one defensive tackle on the field. So you like your top three right now there. Barmore is an interesting name that's being floated about in, like, you know, the circles around here. But even if he were on the board, I think Newsom's the pick. Denzel Ward's never played more than 12 games in a season. He's never made more than 12 starts. Greedy Williams is coming back after missing a full season, basically, with a shoulder nerve injury. You brought in Troy Hill to play the slot. He's excellent there. You've got the three safeties that I love. I mean, John Johnson, Delpit, and Ronnie Harrison, who came in last year and I thought was great for the Browns. I love that. But you've got to be realistic about the cornerback position and say, okay, let's let Greedy come along. And you can never have enough good corners. Mm-hmm. If we ended up having three excellent outside corners, that's a wonderful thing. And you know, Money Mitch, who played the most snaps for us last year, he's gone. Kevin Johnson's gone. And so I think that is, if you said there's one actual need remaining, I think it's another outside corner. And so Newsom, first team all Big Ten, at least 10 passes defense each of the last two seasons. He led the FBS with a 15.7 passer rating against last year. I mean, he's great in man and zone. He thrives in off coverage, which we play a lot of here with Joe Woods. So I think you talk about the size at 6 foot, 192, a 4.38 40, great mirroring skills. I think he's exactly what the Browns want opposite Denzel Ward. And that's not to say Greedy can't be great in his own right, because I think he can be, but that's the one spot I really want to address. That would give me a lot of comfort going through the season, knowing you're going to have to deal with Burrow and the Bengals slinging it around. You're going to have to deal with the Steelers, who are going to still try to sling it around the yard quite a bit. And then you got the three safeties, I think, to really help, and the good front to help deal with what the Ravens are going to present. So that's where I'm going. You know, receivers, another temptation of mine, because I think we've got to be realistic about long-term succession planning. But I think with this draft, you can do that in the second round. I think that big four group of cornerbacks, which would be Surtain, Farley, J.C. Horn, and Newsom, I think they're kind of in their own tier. And if one of those guys is available for the Browns, I think it's a no-brainer.
Cool, man. I was going to ask a follow-up for offense, but he's already on it. Like, Nathan's just boom, boom, boom. He knows his team so well. Y'all could tell by the confidence in which he talks. Nathan, we'll get you out of here. We really appreciate it. Everybody, go follow Nathan on Twitter, at Nathan Zagura. He's the host of Browns Daily, and he's covering the Browns inside and out, as you could tell just from the moments that we were able to speak with him here on this podcast. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. And yeah, it's an exciting time right now to be a Browns fan. And hopefully, you know, Andrew Berry comes through, takes advantage of the way the board falls, and we're off and rolling, man. I mean, we're running it back on offense, which is crazy. I don't know that anybody's done that. Like, literally, we are running it back on offense. The biggest need on offense, you know, from replacement-wise, from last year's, your second swing tackle. Not even your first swing tackle, your second swing tackle. Kendall Lamb's the only guy who's gone, but I think if you want to give a little spoiler into the next rounds, speed at wide receiver, I think, is something the Browns will absolutely covet.
So much good stuff there from Nathan, Michael and Nathan, honestly, picks number 25 and 26 for the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Cleveland Browns. We had Christian Barmore going off the board at number 25, and now Greg Newsom going off the board at 26. I think Greg Newsom's going to go a lot higher than this. But hey, guess mock draft, it's falling the way it is. Before we get out of here, got to remind the people that Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football is over, but MLB, NHL, all that, it's still in full swing. Plus, you get a lot of bets on the NFL draft coming up as well. Bet Online's got you covered for all of that, the news, the scores, the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head over to the website or use your mobile device today to get a 50% welcome bonus back on your first deposit using the promo code Locked On, all caps, one word, Locked On. Bet Online, your online sports book experts. Baltimore Ravens and New Orleans Saints coming up next. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.